Good morning, everybody. Pastor Mike here with another Watchman Pure Bible Study, Revelation chapter 13. Let's start reading in verse 4. Actually, we go back to verse 1. Beast rising up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns. Upon his horns, ten crowns. And upon his heads, the name of blasphemy. We're going to look at blasphemy. Because down in verse 5, there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things. We talked about that last week. He's boasting, making himself big, like a beast does. Beasts, when they want to present themselves to a mate or to an enemy, they will make themselves big and husky that they're really not. There was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemy. So two times here, the Bible is associating this beast with blasphemy, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. Here's something interesting that as you study this idea of blasphemy, you'll find out, and we'll see the scriptures, you'll find out that overwhelmingly, blasphemy has to do with God's name. In verse 1, he has on his heads, all seven heads, apparently, he has the name of blasphemy. What is that? And then in verse 5, he has a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. We go back to Exodus chapter 20. We have in Exodus 20, the 70th chapter of the Bible, seven heads. The 70th chapter of the Bible, we have the giving of the Ten Commandments. And the first commandment is, of course, to have no other gods before me. This is what God said in verse 3. Verse 4, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Then he says, the third commandment, verse 7, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Now, I've been taught well in my life, just didn't listen to some of it, to not use the Lord's name in a vain way. In other words, I'm just going to use these for illustrative purposes. I got my mouth washed out with soap or slapped, or I got in trouble for saying, oh my God. I don't say that. I don't go around saying that. I don't go around saying, good God Almighty. I don't say stuff like that. I don't say, Jesus Christ. I don't do that. I just did. That's just illustrating taking the name of the Lord in vain, using his name in a vain way when you don't really mean it. When I use God's name, I'm preaching, teaching, talking about the nature of God. God does this. God said this. Or I'm addressing God, my Father, in prayer. But I just, this just something, it's not one of my hang-ups. With some people, it is. That's a big issue with them. Cursing. Saying God, and then things follow that. That's a real issue with some people. They have a real problem with what comes out of their mouth. They have a problem with cursing, using words, even words that are in the Bible, and they're curse words, damnation and hell. The Bible talks about those who are will not receive correction as a son. They are bastards. We use those words in a cursing fashion, but it's the taking of God's name or the using of God's name in some sort of curse or some sort of vain way where you're expressing anger, you're expressing frustration and things like that. You're not calling upon God. You're taking his name in vain. And God, from the Bible, has many names. He is God. He is Lord. He is Jesus Christ. He is Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He is all of these things and all of these names. One of the names that he has is Jealous. One of the names he has is Holy One, the Mighty One, the Most High. Think about that. Isaiah 14, Lucifer says, I will be like who? the Most High. He is taking that name in vain. He is applying it to himself, and that is blasphemy. When you say that I am God, you're saying exactly what Satan said, Ezekiel chapter 28. I am God. I sit in the seat of God. 2 Thessalonians 2, so that he is God, sitteth in the seat of God, or the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. He is taking God's name, putting it on himself, and thus blaspheming. Think of what Paul warned us about. He warned us about another Jesus. I think this beast is going to assume the role or the identity of Jesus Christ. He is going to appear to be Jesus. And the problem is, there is a book that absolutely correctly identifies the real Jesus. There is another book that has taken away from this identification. And I think that people that follow these new Bibles, in fact, they're going beyond that. They're just following whatever whim and whatever ecstasy and whatever feeling people get. They are going to fall and be deceived by a beast who has the name of blasphemy. He's going to call himself Jesus. He's going to call himself maybe by a lot of names. But people are going to fall for it. And I think that the blasphemy that his mouth speaks, I think it has everything to do with him identifying himself as God and trying to show that he is God. Third commandment. Three is the number for sin. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. Pride of life, one of the most dangerous ones. And when it says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, I think this beast is so full of pride, like Lucifer was, that he believes that he himself is God. He presents himself as God. In Hosea 13, God said, because of the drunkenness and because of the idolatry and the wickedness of Ephraim, that God was going to be to them like a lion and a bear and a leopard. That's the description given in Revelation 13. In other words, I think that God's going to turn people over to a reprobate mind. They're going to be worshiping a beast, but thinking that it's God, but it's not. And I think that's what the name of blasphemy is, and I think that is taking God's name in vain. We have an illustration of that in Leviticus 24. I always like to find typology. I always like to find the stories that just sort of act this out, so you can sort of see a picture of what God is talking about. You see a picture of the doctrine and how it works. Leviticus 24, in verse 11, there, the Israelitish woman's son blasphemed the name of the Lord. There it is. He blasphemed the name of the Lord. Now, we don't have a record of what he said or what he did, but we just know that here's this woman, and she has a son, and her son blasphemed the name of the Lord, broke the third commandment. It's a big deal with God. His name is a big deal. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Think of if you want a picture of that, if you're ever in a courtroom and the bailiff says, all rise, the Honorable Judge Judith Scheinlin is now on the bench or whatever. And out of respect, everyone in the courtroom rises when the judge enters in and takes the judgment seat. Is that proper? I absolutely think it is. A judge is a pretty serious office to be held. It's to be held in high regard. These people have the power of life and death in their judgment, and they should be respected and revered. I also think a judge should be respectable in their judgment. Think of the Queen of England. When the Queen walks in the room, no one goes, hey, and then checking their cell phone. You don't do that. There is a protocol. I'm not British, so I don't know what the protocol is. But when the Queen enters the room, or some person of royalty enters the room, there is a protocol on how people are to react. And so if I was in England, and I went around dressed up as the Queen, and walked into a room to show myself that I'm the queen, there's probably a couple of Britain people that would probably think that's funny, but for the most part, they take the royal family fairly seriously, and they would say, that's our queen. How dare you do that? That's our queen. You have no right to do that. So it's the same idea, the same concept. If we have people in this world that by nature of their office or things that they have done, they deserve respect and gratitude, or they have a high honor among men, then likewise God, in fact, not even likewise, more so, infinitely, should God have that same respect and that same courtesy. So it's at the name of Jesus that every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father, including the old devil. I think he's going to have to bow his knee and say, you're Lord. And then he's going to go spend time in the prison, the pit, for 1,000 years. Then the lake of fire just never gets better for him, does it? But anyway, this Israelitish woman's son blasphemed the name of the Lord and cursed. See it? Put it together. Those of you who think that you can curse and say all these words and it's okay, you're wrong. You're dead wrong. Take the name of the Lord in vain in your cursing, and it's a violation of the third commandment. And God took it seriously. Look at the story. They brought him unto Moses. Moses represents the law. He represents judgment. Moses is going to decide, because he's the lawgiver, Moses is going to decide whether he's innocent or guilty according to the written law. And his mother's name was Shilamith, the daughter of Dibri of the tribe of Dan. Very, very interesting. Very interesting. You have that he's of the tribe of Dan. And Dan, if you remember, was prophesied over by Jacob and said that he would be a serpent by the way. He would bite the horse's heels, cause the rider to fall. And so Dan represents a serpent. But also, when the Israelites went traveling through the wilderness, Judah was always the head of the little serpentine travel that they did. And Dan was always the tail. He was always last in line. And if you remember, you get back to Revelation chapter 7, and you look at that and you see that Dan, the tribe of Dan, has been completely omitted from those who are sealed of the 144,000. There is no Dan in the in that kingdom. They don't exist. And so there is something interesting about Dan being a serpent. I think this typology bears this out. But he was of the tribe of Dan. They put him in ward. Think about it. Ward is like a prison. It's like a hold. He did a crime. You're under arrest. What's the charge? Blasphemy. So they put him in a ward. They have guards standing over him. He's not to escape. Think about where the beast is right now. He's in prison. He's being held on charges of blasphemy. So they put him in a ward that the mind of the Lord might be showed them. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, bring forth him that hath cursed without the camp, and let all that heard him lay their hands upon his head. Let all the congregation stone him. So think about Daniel chapter 2 and the fourth kingdom, and the stone cut without hands flying through the air, and it destroys the image, it destroys the kingdom, destroys all the kingdoms of the world, and that stone become a great mountain. And so that's the imagery you get when someone, according to the law, is stoned. The punishment of certain crimes was that they were to be stoned, and that is a foreshadow of what you see in Daniel chapter 2. Verse 15, thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, whosoever curseth his God shall bear his sin. That beast is cursing his God. He is going to have to bear his sin upon his head. He has seven heads, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. He is going to bear
his blasphemy on his head. That's exactly what it's saying here. And he that blasphemeth the name of the Lord, he shall surely be put to death. And all the congregation shall certainly stone him, as well the stranger as he that is born in the land. When he blasphemeth the name of the Lord shall be put to death. Now, the mark of the beast, for those of you who would say, well, it's possible to take the mark of the beast and still go to heaven. Liar. Pants on fire. Hanging from a telephone wire. The name of the beast is associated with the mark. And the name is the name of blasphemy. And when you take the mark, you are taking that blasphemy upon yourself. He causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in the right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save it had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. And it's, some would say, well, it's one or the other, but I agree with that, but I also think that it's all part of the name of the beast and the number of his name and the mark of the beast. I think that that's pretty much all the same. When you take that mark, you are taking, when I received Christ and was born again, sealed by the Holy Spirit, I take the name of Christ in my inner man. I have a new name given to me, a new name written down in glory. We sing that all the time at Bethel. That the idea is when you come to Christ and are His, you are taking His name on yourself. When you get the mark, you are taking that name of blasphemy upon you, upon your head. That's where it's going. You're going to be killed for that. The punishment for that is death. You will be stoned. The stone cut out without hands is coming to crush you. Don't let anybody deceive you into thinking that you can take the mark, but it's really okay as long as you didn't mean it. You and I both know that we've said things out of anger, out of frustration, even curse. We didn't mean it. But whoever you said it to, they were hurt by it. You can't take that back ever. They can forgive you. But it's just like hitting somebody. It's going to hurt for a while. They always say, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words may never harm me. That's not true. Words, in some cases, can hurt a lot longer than a wound. Anyway, but that's the story is, they took this man from this man of Dan because he blasphemed the name of the Lord and he cursed, and they killed him. God's sentence upon him was death. And that's the picture of the Antichrist and all of those who follow that beast. 2 Kings. Here's just more illustrations of the Bible where blasphemy is given and usually associated with the name. 2 Kings 19:6. And Isaiah said unto them, thus shall ye say to your master, thus saith the Lord, be not afraid of the words which thou hast heard, with which the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Remember that Sennacherib had encompassed Jerusalem in the days of Hezekiah and sought to take it over. And he sent a letter and he said to everybody, don't think that your God's going to save you because none of the other gods that I've run up against has ever stopped me. And so don't think that your God is going to stop you. And he cursed and he blasphemed the name of God. And Isaiah the prophet, the word of God, the Bible, is telling them, be not afraid of the words which thou hast heard, with which the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. And then in verse 22, whom hast thou reproached and blasphemed? And against whom hast thou exalted thy voice and lifted up thine eyes on high? Even against, here it is, the Holy One of Israel. The Holy One. One of the beast's titles is the One. He is the One. He is taking that name of blasphemy upon himself. And God, there's another story there. If you want to read 2 Kings 19, there's another picture of it there. And here they blaspheme the name of the Lord. And Isaiah says, don't worry about it. They're going to get it. Don't be afraid of that. I know they curse God. And listen, you and I live in a world right now, practically everybody curses God. They take the Lord's name in vain. They're cursing. There's blasphemy all around us. And what we want to do is we want to take vengeance on those people. I know me. I know when I'm in a public place and I'm with my kids or my grandkids and I hear someone cursing out loud in front of little kids, boy, I give them the stare down. And sometimes, I mean, I've done this a couple times before. I told a lady, she come cursing that store clerk. And I said, ma'am, I don't think you ought to use that language in front of little children. And she paused for a minute. She turned around and looked at me and she said, you mind your own business. Boy, she was hot at me. Whew. And you know what? I'll tell this story. I wanted to say something so bad to her. I wanted to come back on her in vengeance. And I opened my mouth and it was like God himself just went. And I couldn't talk. Couldn't think of what to say. So I just stood there. Oh, well, I wanted to say something. God may have known something that I didn't know. But anyway, I don't like it when people are cursing around where I'm at with my children. But here's the thing. God's either going to forgive them if they go to him in repentance, or God's going to get them for it. He's not going to forget about it. Every idle word that is spoken, there's an angel going, yep, yep, you did that one. You're going to stand in judgment. And God's going to say, what sins did he break? And one angel's going to say, yeah, Lord, he's got taken your name in vain and cursing. Really, how many times? As of the day that he died, 8,927. That's what we counted. Oh, my goodness. That's a lot. It's normal with some people. God's going to get them for it. Don't worry about it. All right. Psalm 74:10. O God, how long shall the adversary reproach? Think of the adversary. Shall the enemy blaspheme thy name forever? It's been going on for years. The enemy hates God. He hates God's people. He hates God's anointed. There is a conspiracy against him in Psalm chapter 2. And they're going to blaspheme the name of the Lord. There are religious entities right now masquerading as Christian that are taking the name of the Lord in vain. And his word, he magnified above his name. Now they're calling these books Bibles. But they're not Bibles. They blaspheme God. They say that God, in Daniel chapter 3, verse 25, is a son of the gods or son of divine beings. That's blasphemy. He's not, they're saying he's not the son of God. He's a son of the gods. Blasphemy. And I'm going to fight against these Bibles and against the false doctrines till God takes me out. But they've been doing it for years. They're doing it now. And God's watching. God's writing it all down. Isaiah 52:5. Now therefore, what have I here, saith the Lord, that my people is taken away for naught, for nothing? They that rule over them make them to howl, saith the Lord. And my name continually every day is blasphemed. Now, there is, in fact, I did a video years ago called A Sure Word of Prophecy. It was back in the early years of the Watchman broadcast. And I put some clips on here that I borrowed them from Joseph Chambers, Paul Creek Ministries. There's a woman in a charismatic church who is standing up in front of everybody. That's her first problem right there. She should be sitting down, keeping her mouth shut. But she's got the microphone, and they've just had this ecstatic experience in the church. And she said God told her that he wants her to howl for him. She said, oh, Lord, don't make me do that. But he said, would you howl for me? So she howled like a wolf in front of that church. And everybody's going, ooh, yeah, praise the Lord. That's blasphemy. That's what it says right here. They that rule over them make them to howl.
two entities rule over people in false churches. Number one, they're false teachers. Number two, devils. Rulers of the darkness of this world rule over them. And they give them a beast spirit that makes them howl. And in those groups, the name of God is blasphemed every day. They say that's the Holy Spirit making them do that. Matthew 12, blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. I don't want to be guilty of that. That will not be forgiven. Are you, Pastor, are you saying these people are unsavable? It's not my place to judge everybody that's goes to. I know that many people used to attend charismatic fellowships. They used to go to these charismatic churches. They get caught up. One family told me their story. They said they went to Benny the Hen, and he's like on them, and they all, you know, whatever. They felt the electricity and all of this stuff, and God called them out of that. Okay? That's a amen. Praise the Lord. I'm all for that. Come out from among them and be ye separate. But I think a person gets to a point where they just turn themselves over to these spirits and blaspheme the name of God. Blaspheme, I think, the Holy Ghost. They call it the Holy Ghost, but it's not. Remember, what Paul said, another Jesus? He said another spirit. I'm just trying to warn everybody. Don't fall, literally, fall. Don't fall for that deception, that heresy. Don't do it. Ezekiel 20, verse 27. Therefore, son of man, speak unto the house of Israel, and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, yet in this your fathers have blasphemed me, in that they have committed a trespass against me. They blasphemed God. They trespassed against him. And now we're going to look at Matthew chapter 9. Here's what's interesting. You're going to see, I think this has to do with it. There was times when they accused Jesus of blasphemy. And the accusations that they gave were very, very specific. Two in particular that I think are part of what the beast does. Let's look in Matthew chapter 9, verse 1. And he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. Behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, I'd love that. They took this man. He had cerebral palsy. They took him to Jesus. He's all curled up on his bed, muscles all atrophied. And they brought him to Jesus. And Jesus saw that. He saw that their faith, they said, we don't have any other place to go, Jesus. We believe that you can heal him. So they took him to Jesus, and Jesus was looking at him. And he said, boy, your faith. And here's the interesting thing. These people trusted Jesus. They had faith in Christ. They're in heaven. They trusted Jesus. Seeing Jesus, Jesus seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. You see how it works? When you trust Jesus, he'll forgive your sins. When you have faith, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. For by grace are you saved through faith. You believe and trust in God. That's the condition on man's part, is that he believes. And you have your sins forgiven by God. That's what his grace does. So he says, son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemeth. And you go follow the rest of the story. He forgives this man's sin. And he's blaspheming. By the way, he healed him of palsy as well. And so Jesus is like, which is easier to do? Heal this man of palsy or forgive his sins? But I'm telling you that God has given me the power to forgive man's sins. And they said that was blasphemy.
So I want you to think about it. Mankind, evil mankind, is going to follow after this religious leader who is going to, in some way, absolve them from all of their sins, probably by telling them, it's not really sin. It's not. The real sin is those fundamentalist Bible believers. That's the sin right there, believing in like one God. So I think that there's something about the beast and the Antichrist. He's another Jesus. Remember that. And I think that he is... I know this for sure. The curse of sin is death. And one of the things I'm absolutely sure of is that the beast and his false prophet are going to offer people a way around death. Ray Kurzweil, the singularity, let's be gods, let's be immortal. That is trying to overcome the sting of sin, which is death, or the sting of death is sin, the strength of sin is the law. And I think the beast tries to override God's curse of sin. Blasphemy. That's what it is. And those who participate in it, they're blaspheming the cross, is what they're doing, because the only place that sins can be forgiven is the cross. So number one, I think the blasphemy that he does is that he bypasses the curse of sin and basically says, and in that doing, he's saying to everybody, I know you're all sinners, you deserve death, but it's not really sin. So now let's live forever. Okay, that's just my little thing on it. But I think the blasphemy has to do with forgiving the sin or removing the curse of the sin. Matthew 26:63. Look at this. Here's another one. But Jesus held his peace, and the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus saith unto him, thou hast said. You said it right. Nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, he hath spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witness? Behold, now ye have heard his blasphemy. He said that he was the Son of God, that he was the Christ. And you're going to see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power. And they're going, I don't know what it is about being mad and ripping your clothes. Never occurred to me. But anyway, he makes himself to be God. There's another verse in here. Yeah, John 10. We're going to see that in a little bit. But number one, I think the beast overrides sin some way, probably by trying to give them immortality, even though they're sinners. Jesus makes himself the Son of God and the Son of Man, and they say that's blasphemy. Mark chapter 7, verse 20, blasphemy is in us. It's part of the, I like this, 13 things in Mark chapter 7. 13, Revelation 13, Genesis 13, the men of Sodom were wicked before the Lord, 13:13. Deuteronomy 13 is about a false prophet. Acts 13 is about a false prophet. You just see that over and over. Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth, 13 words. Marching around Jericho 13 times. So here we have 13 things that are in us, in me. Look at it. He said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. But me eating bacon and ham and pork sausage and pork frankfurters and pork loin roast and smoked pork ribs. Whew, that's good. I receive it with thanksgiving, and it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. No, God didn't change the law. God doesn't change his law. He cleaned the pig. Now it's not unclean anymore. Now we can't call it unclean because it's sanctified and cleansed by the word of God and by prayer. Okay, so I'm not defiled. I got surrounded in Dallas, Texas by some people. I got off a plane. They rushed me to the meeting. I had I had 10 minutes to throw down a Whataburger. I love Whataburger. You people down south are so lucky. And it had bacon on it. And I talked about that. And they surrounded me after the meeting. You ate bacon? Oh, you're defiled. You had unclean things. You're not supposed to do that. And we kind of got in. I said, I didn't come all the way down here to argue and fight with you people. But it's sanctified by the Word of God and by prayer. It's over with. I'm done. I'm not going to argue. It's not what goes into me that defiles me. It's what comes out. And I've used this illustration before. It's kind of gross, but everything that comes out of every orifice of the human body, whether it's my mouth, my nose, my ear wax, my skin pores, I'm stopping right there. Everything that comes out of my body stinks. It smells. It's something that you would never eat. You're defiled by what comes out of you. Paul said, in my flesh is no good thing. And when it comes out, it stinks. No one ever sweats rose petals. No one does. No one ever sneezes on a cake and everybody's going, oh, wow, I can't wait to get a hold of that now. Never happens. Everybody goes, oh, you ruined the cake. Oh, because it came out of you and it's defiled now. See how we are? Oh, man. That's what's in us. Corruption is in us and it comes out of us. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts. Evil thoughts come out of us, usually by way of our actions or our words. Evil thoughts do. Adulteries. That's what's in, it's in us. Jesus said you committed adultery with her in your heart already. And given the chance, you would do it. Adulteries. Fornications. Murders. Thefts. Covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness, 13 things in us. I'm going to go back through this list again, and I want you to just count how many things you know you've been guilty of. Evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts. You took anything didn't belong to you. Didn't belong to you, you took. I don't care if it was a pencil eraser in third grade. You're a thief. Didn't belong to you. You didn't, your mom didn't give it to you. You didn't buy it. Teacher didn't give it to you. You stole it. Illegal music downloads. That's theft. Covetousness. You wanted your neighbor's house or your neighbor's chariot, your neighbor's farmall tractor, or you looked out the Venetian blinds at your neighbor's wife or your neighbor's husband. Covetousness. That's what's in you. Don't tell me how good you are. Don't tell me about how you don't sin anymore. Don't tell me that. Wickedness. Just general wickedness. Deceit. How many are we up to so far? How many things have you been guilty of? Lasciviousness. An evil eye. Staring someone down in hate. Blasphemy. Remember the things that you said before you got saved. Remember the things you said after you got saved. Pride. Foolishness. Most people, if they're honest, put a check mark by every one of these things. Yep.
That's what's in us. It's no doubt about it. That's why this flesh has no redemption whatsoever. Who wants to? So think about what the beast wants to do. He wants to redeem the flesh. He wants to make the flesh live and escape the curse. I don't. My soul and my spirit are both in agreement that my flesh deserves the death penalty. And it's going to get it. And we can't wait for it to happen. I'm like Abigail. I can't wait for Nabal to die. Can't wait for it to happen. Amen? All these things, all these evil things come from within and defile the man. So when you hear them start talking about the God on the inside of you, you connecting with the God on the inside of you, it's not the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, whose son is Jesus Christ. It's another God who is identifying himself as God in the temple of God. Remember, the body is the temple. Showing himself that he is God. That's who you're connecting with, because they can tell you that you can connect right to this God without the mediator, Jesus Christ, because people in other religions do it. That's the defiled thing inside of you that you're connecting with. You're hooking in with them. You're being in yoke of bondage with them. And we've got it in us, people. Now, John 10:33, the Jews answered him, saying, "For a good work we stone thee not." Stoning, blasphemy. Remember back the man from the tribe of Dan? "But for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God." See it? There it is, John 10:33. Think about that. It's that number. That, how does they do that? Those Jewish rabbis and the Hebrew roots people, they make that blessing. Okay? Like Spock, live long and prosper. Okay? "I have been, always shall be your friend, Jim." You know what that is? That's a 33. That's a 33 is what it is. That's 3 plus 3. That's 6. Genesis 6. Think about it. Okay? That's what that hand sign is. You got Hebrew roots rabbis and people doing that all over the country. And everybody's going, "Oh yeah, praise God, he's blessing us." He's cursing you, people. What is wrong with you? "Makest thyself God." Kenneth Copeland refers to himself as God. He said that God told him, God told him that Kenneth Copeland, as a twice-born man, could have died for everybody's sins. It's blasphemy. Copeland, you're a blasphemer. And everybody that falls under him and remains under him, remains yoked to him, it's a yoke of blasphemy. And so this beast makes himself God, though he is a man. And so, and that's what it says, 2 Thessalonians 2, Ezekiel 28, he's making himself God. So I think the name of blasphemy is God, Jesus. That's what I think, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what I think he's making. I think it could very well be connected to the Tetragrammaton, Yod, He, Vah, He, in the Hebrew Scriptures, translated in the King James, I think correctly, is Jehovah. There's no doubt in my mind it's in the King James. It's right. But the sacred namers say, "Oh, Yod, He, Vah, He, that's the secret, sacred name of God. If you pronounce it right, then God will give you these blessings." I think it has something to do. Masonry uses the Yod, He, Vah, He, the Tetragrammaton. Witchcraft, Rosicrucianism. Jewish mysticism, the Yod Heh Vah Heh is the most sacred thing to them. It's got magic powers, creative powers. I think he takes that name on himself. That's what I think. 2 Timothy 3:2, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetousness, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unfaithful, unholy." 1 Timothy 6:1, "Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed." See his doctrine. Jesus died for man's sins. That's the doctrine of God. I think the beast blasphemes that doctrine. The name of God and his doctrine. His doctrine is his word, which he magnified above his name. And he's talking about, if you're a servant, if you work for somebody and you're under the yoke, honor your master, so that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. And just throw this at you.
Everybody knows, everybody at work knows that you say you're a Christian and you go to church, or you don't go to church because all the churches are evil, and you've got it in your little pea brain that since you're an exalted Christian, you don't have to do what man tells you to do, and you're rebellious at work, and everybody that you work with knows it, including your boss. And they're going, well, if that's what you Christians are like, I don't want anything to do with you. You're causing these people to blaspheme the name of God by your rebellion. Rebellion is as what? Witchcraft. Well, I'm a Christian. I only obey God. I don't obey any man. I'm not under any man. That's not true. Servants, obey your masters in the Lord, for this is right. It's all God gives institutions of earthly authority. Husband over a wife. Pastor, bishop over a church. Masters of any kind of occupation over the people that work for them. You have to do what they tell you to do. As long as it doesn't make you violate God's word. If they tell you to sweep the floor, you sweep the floor. If they tell you to take trash out, take trash out. If they tell you to work 2 extra hours every day, then work 2 extra hours every day. Don't be in rebellion against your boss and act like God told you to be that way. Because everybody at work is just going to go, I don't want anything to do. I'm so sick of these Christians and their God. That's on you. The women, Titus 2:5, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. See, there it is again. He said it in 1 Timothy 6. He says it in Titus 2. Women, be under the authority of your husband, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Even your lost husband. As long as he is not causing you or forcing you to disobey God's laws and God's rules and God's way for your life. You are under his authority. Why? Because it was the woman who sinned first. It was the woman who was deceived. She is the weaker vessel. God will even use an unsaved husband to bring protection over you. Because that's what authority is protection. And you decided that since your husband's lost and you're saved, that you can be in rebellion to him. And all he sees is someone that he is learning how to hate, and he's blaspheming your God and your Bible. Because my wife says she's one of these reborn Christians, and I see how she acts toward me. I don't have anything to do with her. You're just causing him to blaspheme God. James chapter 2, but ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before judgment seats? Do they not blaspheme that worthy name by which ye are called? Rich men do. Rich men do. In God we trust. Really? Different God here. It's a different God. Don't be wanting to be rich all the time, because rich men, all they do is blaspheme God. Bill Gates, Donald Trump, some of these Saudi princes, all they do. Steve Jobs, one of the biggest blasphemers in the tech industry. He was a New Age. He started out studying Eastern mysticism. That was his first college enrollment plan, was to just study Eastern mysticism. He was into yoga. He was into transcendental meditation. He was getting his ideas from spirits, no doubt in my mind about it. Blaspheme God. And everybody said, oh, I want to be rich like Steve Jobs. I want to have all this money. These people blaspheme God. It's better to be poor and have nothing than it is to be rich, blaspheme the name of the Lord. Love of money is the root of all evil. And I think the beast, I think there's something about him that it represents the love of money. He's the root of all evil. Oh, wow. What a study. Okay? Don't be blasphemers. Don't make other people blaspheme the name of God and the word of God. Okay? I'm reasonably sure that I already have that one on me. That one has to be forgiven and covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. You don't want it on you. I promise you. I love you. God bless you. 42 months.
It's an interesting thing. We're going to study it next week. All right. God bless you. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.